All right, John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. And then some of you may or may not have the next few phrases here, but waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" So I want to go back really just this morning. I want to look at verse 1, and it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So, where do we see, in John chapter 2, what feast did we see that Jesus attended? In John chapter 2. Starts with a pig. It's a big one. All right, the Passover. So John chapter 2 was the first Passover that we see in the ministry of Christ. Now, when did the ministry of Christ begin? At what point, Jesus, we know his birth, we know different things, but when would we actually go back and point and say, Christ's ministry began here? All right. Okay, probably, most people would probably say the first miracle that he did was that, which was very soon after his baptism. Most people would probably, if you're going to count the year or the months or years of his ministry, they would probably say upon his baptism, that's when his adult or earthly ministry began. And why would that be? Why would we maybe point at that even more so than the first miracle that he performed? What very unique thing happened at his baptism? Okay, the Spirit descended upon him, right? And so at that point, we would say, you know, the Spirit, and I'm not going to argue what happened, transpired maybe before that, but we know the Spirit descended upon him at the baptism. The Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, whether Christ was totally indwelt by the Spirit before that, or whether this was just a sign really for John and others to see that he was the Messiah, that he was who he was going to claim to be, that John, as he was saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," then the baptism, the dove descending, just to really reinforce this concept in their minds. I'm not going to argue all of that. But the baptism was probably the start of his ministry. Then very soon after that, we do see the first miracle that he performed in Cana. And then the Passover as well. Let's see, then the... So really what I'm trying to get us to look at is in chapter 5 here, you know, what is this feast? Can we determine a timeline with that? So we know John 2 was Passover. John 3, Jesus is teaching in Judea. There, his disciples are baptizing. That was the encounter with Nicodemus. Work seems to be progressing. More and more people are following Jesus. The Pharisees are getting a little upset about this. Jesus decides in chapter 4, okay, it's, you know, the heat's on, you know, it's probably better to get out of town, so I'm going to leave. I must needs go through Samaria on my way to Galilee. So we see all that has transpired in chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, her salvation, many believing her word, believing because of Christ's word in Samaria. He continues up into Cana, and then we've spent the last couple weeks looking at the nobleman coming down and begging Christ to heal his son, which Christ does. And that is the second miracle. Now, when we talked about Jesus in Samaria, what months of our years, or what months of our calendar year did we say that probably was? Anybody remember? A little before that. It was when they were, and again, I know it's difficult because our seasons don't really correspond with the Palestinian seasons, but many commentators, and there's two different thought processes, and we're going to look at them, but many commentators feel like when Jesus went through Samaria, it was more the December time frame, what we would consider as December. And that was really when they were planting their barley and wheat seeds for their harvest that would come later. And that's kind of the discussion there is, you know, why would Jesus say, you know, the fields are white unto harvest if really there was no harvest to be had other than the Samaritans that probably were coming out of the city to see Christ. And so the thought is that most think that he was using the harvest as an illustration, showing them the spiritual harvest that was to come as men and women came out of the city to see him because of the testimony of the woman. Now, when do we see the next Passover being observed or being mentioned in Scripture? All right, if you would, and I'm not going to try to make you pick that off the top of your head. But John 6, verse 4 says, "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near." Now, so we see it in John 1, really, John 2. We see it in John 6, and then we also see it mentioned later in the John like 13 and on. You know, all of that is right around the time of Passover. So we have that, chapter 6. Okay, now, if you look at this, and I don't know how well you can see it. Hopefully you can see it good enough. But it lists the different feasts of the Jews. And which feasts were all men required to attend? There was three that they, if you were going to be any kind of a decent Jew, you had to attend at least three of the feasts. Anybody know what they were? All right, the Passover was one. That was the big one. And then the next one's down at the bottom. All right, the Tabernacle's Atonement, you know, the Atonement period. And then the third one would be what? It's up over on your right-hand side there, the Pentecost, okay? And I tried to put three little arrows by them. But we have the Passover, then Pentecost, and then Atonement. Those were your three big feasts that they were to observe. Now, what was the importance of Passover? What did it represent to the Jews? And I know this is a little, if you like history, you'll enjoy this morning's lesson. If you don't, you might not enjoy it so much, but we're a little more historical here, just kind of laying the groundwork. So Passover was their deliverance from Egypt. So, you know, the Passover, the angel coming over, passing over those that had put the blood on their door, on the door sides and across the top. And the angel saw it, passed over them. So that was their Passover. All right. What was the importance of Pentecost? All right. That took place 50 days after Passover. So what was the importance of Pentecost? What did the Israelites receive 50 days after they left Egypt? The Ten Commandments. All right. So Pentecost was the giving and receiving of the Ten Commandments. Then we swing back down the Atonement. What was the importance of the Atonement? Why did they celebrate the Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles there? Anybody? What's wrapped up in the word atonement? Being atoned for, correct? And so the importance of the atonement, that was when the high priest did what? That was the one and only time that he was allowed to go into the holiest of holies, the holiest place, and offer a sacrifice on behalf of the nation of Israel. And that was the atoning for the sins of the people. And then, of course, there were other parts of that we'll call it a ritual, or other parts of that event that took place as well. But those were the three main feasts, or three main things that the Jews, Jewish males, would go back to Jerusalem to celebrate. Then we also have up there the Feast of Trumpets, it's very unique, because when we think of the first month of the year, what do we think of? Our New Year, right? Well, the Jewish New Year is actually at the end of their sixth month. The Feast of Trumpets, the first month of their year is Passover. And that is how their calendar is established. So if you look up there, you can see it. Nisan is their first month of their year. So then Trumpets is the beginning of their new year. Hanukkah, who remembers, what's the importance of Hanukkah? What's the importance of Hanukkah? What? The Festival of Lights. And what were they celebrating? This was one that didn't really, it wasn't the ancient Jews that this feast came about. It was later in their history. The Maccabean, right. It was after the Maccabean revolt. This was when they actually got to go in. They revolted against the Maccabeans. They cleansed the temple. And they established the feast, or the celebration of Hanukkah, for the ability that they had at that time to cleanse the temple and to free themselves from the Maccabeans. And then the last one, the last feast, the Feast of Purim. Anybody remember that one? Yes, good. Somebody studied. Good. But yes, Purim is the feast celebrating Queen Esther and the ability that she was able to talk the king into giving the Jews the right to protect themselves and actually to fight against those that were allowed to kill them at will because of Haman and his trickery. So that was Purim. So coming back, so these are the really three main feasts, three other feasts that it potentially could have been that Jesus was going to. Now, this one's probably going to be really hard. Hopefully you have really good eyes. But two possible solutions to the question of what feast is this in chapter 5. One, Passover seems to be missing when we read through the book of John. All right? Because if Jesus was in ministry for 3.5 years, and the last thing before he was crucified was a Passover, then how many other Passovers would have to occur for him to be in ministry for 3.5 years? Well, four, counting the last one, right? Because if you have like a half a year or somewhere, you have a Passover, which would be kind of in that first, then the second year is third year, and then at the end of his life there. So, and there is some discussion, is it three or is it four? And it all depends on when you start his ministry. And of course, we know the definitive end of the ministry. So really the two thought processes are, one, that the feast that's mentioned here in chapter 5 is the Feast of Tabernacles, which was down, let's see if I get my pointer to work, down here in what we would say October, September, probably in the October time frame. And if that's the case, then the second Passover, the first Passover from chapter 2 up here, then Jesus was in Samaria December time frame. So then we miss that second Passover. It's not mentioned. John's just not bringing it to our attention, kind of glossing over it. And then chapter 5, we would be back down at the Feast of Tabernacles. Chapter 6, we would be back up at the third Passover that is taking place there. And then we'd have another year until the Advent, or to the point at which the Jews arrested Christ and took him to the cross. Now, That's one possibility. And that chapter 5 is, the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, and really it's not Passover time there. And then this would be the fourth and final Passover there in the timeline of Christ. Now, one other timeline, then I'll show you the other possibility. And that one's really, really hard to read, isn't it? Let's see if I can get over here. See if you can follow here. All right. This one, this right here, is the first Passover. So here's the baptism of Christ is what this timeline is saying. This is Passover time here. He cleanses the temple, does that. Then we come over to here, and here is the second Passover. And if you can tell here, if I can send you this slide, if you'd like me to, I'd be happy to. But here's the healing at the pool of Bethesda, which is what we're getting ready to look at. This is John 5. So this author that's making this timeline, he has the baptism of Christ. Jesus is at Jerusalem here. Then we have the woman, John 4, the Samaritan woman. Here we have John 5. He's back the second Passover. He's at the pool of Bethesda healing. Then the fall of the next coming up, our fall of 29 AD is what he's saying. Then springtime here, which is your next Passover. So we have Passover here, 1, Passover here, 2, John 5, Passover here, 3. That would be John 6. And then here, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then the last Passover would be over here. That would be Passover 4. Would be his timeline. So the thing that we have to decide, is John 5 a Passover, a Feast of the Passover, or is that Passover, that second Passover, kind of glossed over and it's not mentioned because nothing perhaps of major importance took place at that time? Now, and again, I'm not going to say one's possibly more right than the other, because Scripture isn't really clear. One thing that we do find, though, in John 2 and John 6 and in John 13, what is John very careful to mention? He very specifically says, now the time of Passover. And he mentions it very clearly that that was the Passover. John 2, John 6, John 13 and on. We know those were Passovers. John 5, he doesn't. He just says there's a feast of the Jews. So you would think that if John was going to be consistent like he did in the other three, and if John 5 was a Passover, that he would specifically say that that too was Passover. The other problem, if John 5 is Passover, then really a whole lot didn't occur between, or a whole lot's not recorded between John 5 and John 6, when the next Passover was. So you'd have like a whole year crammed in between John 5, 1 and John 6, like 3, 2 or 3, or 4, verse 4, when the next Passover is mentioned. And again, that's possible. John's not so much about trying to give us this really perfect timeline and all the things that Jesus did. We have to go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and really compare. And that's what I like about this timeline. The author, and the other one too, but this one maybe a little bit more. The author really tried to factor in the other Gospels and harmonize them very, very well and bring all that together. So, the question today is John 5, are we talking about a Passover, or are we just talking about the Feast of Tabernacles? Which event? And again, I would lean more towards that Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths in more the, let me see if I can go back, down here at this time frame, this season of the year, as opposed to another Passover season up here. I wouldn't argue really with you either way. Just to me, it would make more sense that way, and it kind of fits more as we read through John and with the events that unfold through there. Any questions? Anybody? Any historical, any history buffs that would just really have something you'd like to add? Yes?
I have a question. I don't know if you answer this, but in the back of the story, when Zechariah was serving the Lord's temple,
right.
His time to serve the temple. And if it was Feast of Tabernacles, that would have been while Elizabeth was with the child of John.
Correct.
Jesus would be born to answer that, which would put it in December time frame. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. And yes, I know there is some discussion, you know, was Christ really born, you know, sometime between, I've heard anywhere from December to March. And I think all that is based on, you know, when John's mom went to the, you know, the feast, how far along was she in her pregnancy? And I think that is the crux of the discussion. As far as we know, it has to be somewhere within the 9 months after that. But it's just how far along was she in her pregnancy before she did give birth or marry with Christ and all of that. So, good. Anybody else? Any other questions? All right, let's pray. And then we have lots of food that we can enjoy and spend time meeting some new people. Meet Matthew. Meet some of our other folks that are a little bit newer. Make them feel welcome. Don't hang out with the same people that you hang out with every week. Spread out. Meet my daughter's roommate and ask her what she's doing with her life and how many boyfriends she has and stuff like that. Make it interesting and hard on them. But anyway, Father, thank you for the time we've had to spend together. Thank you for your word. And thank you that you don't always make it all that clear. Thank you that you give us an opportunity to really think through some of these things and try to study them out and to try to figure out what is being said, why it's being said, and to look at these things. I pray that you would bless the food to our bodies, bless the time of fellowship that we have, and may it be enjoyable. Not just the food, but the fellowship, especially. In Christ's name, amen.